I will praise the Lord God with a song and a thankful heart. A thankful heart. And Colossians 4:2 says, devote yourselves to prayer with an alert mind and a thankful heart. Father, we just thank you that we can come and worship you and praise you and honor you with a thankful heart. There are so many things that we are thankful for. And Father, we sometimes just take them for granted and forget to express that appreciation and that gratitude and that thankfulness. Father, I thank you that we can develop and be encouraged in and be established in a thankful heart, that we can just understand how important it is to be aware of what you've done for us, how much you have given for us and given to us. And we are so thankful, Father. Just help us be reminded of that as we listen to your word this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Colossians chapter 4, verse 2 through 4 in the New Living Translation says this. Devote yourselves to prayer with an alert mind and a thankful heart. Pray for us too, that God will give us many opportunities to speak about his mysteries or mysterious plan concerning Christ. That is why I am here in chains. Pray that I will proclaim this message as clearly as I should. You know, I think it's interesting that he starts out here asking the church to commit themselves to prayer, to have a right attitude or an alert mind about it. But he says, you know, if you're making that devotion or that commitment and you've got the right attitude and alert mind about it, you've got to have a right heart about it as well. You know, you can have an alert mind and have your faculties, you have all the right kind of prayer all worked out. You know, a lot of people religiously have their prayers all written out and they pray them out and they speak them out and they talk them out. But as in a sense, that's one part of us that's coming out of your mind, your intellect. But you know, when it comes out of a thankful heart, there's something about love and faith and appreciation that just carries it even further. It's something about, it just gives it more emphasis. I don't know how to explain it other than the fact that sometimes you can pray intellectually, you can pray mentally, you can pray soulishly, and there's nothing wrong with that. But there's something that then empowers it when it comes from the inward man, not just your head, not just that part of you. It is your spirit and your soul together coming and bringing a power, a force, that when you pray and when you honor him and you thank him, there's, you know, the highest form of faith and expression of faith is praise. It's worshiping him and being thankful. You know, we're coming up on what we would call a national holiday of Thanksgiving. I always find it interesting because the people that want to secularize our nation and take everything away from our nation as far as anything to do with God, then you want to ask, well, who are you going to thank? Well, I'm thanking the soldiers and I'm thanking the government. I'm not. I'm thanking God. I'm thanking God that we are still here. I'm thanking God for our nation. I'm thanking God for all the bounties, the wonderful life that he's given us. You know, say, well, my life isn't so wonderful. Well, it's better than most of the rest of the people in the world. Quite honestly, again, you have to go somewhere else in the world to realize how blessed we are as a nation and how blessed we are as a people. And so when we start thinking about this, and Paul's really saying to this church, he says, you know, I'm asking you to pray for us and that God will give us opportunity to speak his mysterious plan concerning Christ. And even though I'm in chains, I'm not going to stop being thankful. I mean, his difficulty, we've talked in the last few weeks about all the things that he went through, the challenges that he went through, the resistance that he went through, the thorns and the temptations and the tests and the trials we've talked about. But he keeps going back to this. I pray that I will continue to proclaim this message as clearly as I could and as I should, regardless of the circumstances. And I believe he could go through all that and not have this pity party attitude of, oh man, you know, God, look what I'm going through. Come on, God. None of you ever said that. There's times I'd like, come on, God, what's going on here? He has a thankful heart. regardless of the circumstance. He's not asking God to join him in a pity party. And we could all have pity parties, I can guarantee you. We've all got reasons to talk about what's going on in our life. Let me read the Amplified version to you, because this is, and then we'll go a little bit further. Colossians chapter 4, verse 2, Amplified. Be earnest and unwearied and steadfast in your prayer life. It says Amplified, but it almost sounds redundant. Be earnest, unwearied, and steadfast. They all have a little bit of different meaning to them, but they all carry something a little significant. You know, earnest means you're sincere, you're earnest, you're focused, and unwearied means you're not going to give up, and steadfast means you're standing strong in a prayer life. He says, being both alert and intent in your praying with thanksgiving. So my attitude towards prayer and how I pray isn't going to be a grumbling, complaining kind of prayer. Some people say, oh God, this is going on and that's going on. And you're almost indicting God for being a lousy God. Really, you think about it. I've listened to some people pray, and the way they pray, it's almost like, God, you're really screwing things up here. And if you don't get your act together, you know, I'm gonna be in trouble here, God. He's like, I'm the answer. I'm not the problem. See, we come with the attitude of thanksgiving and gratitude. I think that there's something about that heart then that is expressing a faith in him to be the solution. Be earnest, unwearied, steadfast in your prayer life, both alert and intent in your praying with thanksgiving. And at the same time, praying also for us that God may open a door to us for the word, the gospel, to proclaim the mystery concerning Christ the Messiah, on account of which I am in prison, that I may proclaim it fully and make it clear, speak boldly and unfold that mystery as is my duty. Behave yourselves wisely, living prudently and with discretion. This is verse 5. In your relations with those of the outside world, the non-Christians, making the very most of the time and seizing and buying up the opportunity, and let your speech at all times be gracious, pleasant, and winsome, seasoned as it were with salt, so that you may never be at a loss to know how you ought to answer anyone who puts a question to you. Now there's a challenge for us as believers to always have the right attitude when we're going to answer or give a response to someone who has a question about the things of God and the things of that concern truth. Again, if we're carrying something in our heart, you know, it talks about a root of bitterness springing up and defiling others. If you've got an attitude that's disgruntling towards God, if you think God somehow or another has shortchanged you, if you think God is somehow or another responsible for what's going on in your life, it's going to be difficult then to give a good answer, a solid answer, a positive answer, an answer that points towards the goodness of God. He says, behave yourselves wisely, live prudently, with discretion in all your relations towards those that are outside, those non-Christians. There's something about our interaction with the world so that when they see us, they understand that we have something to be thankful for. We have something to be rejoicing in. We have something to have in our hearts, a gratitude and an appreciation towards God. You know, when we talk about a thankful heart, as I was meditating on this the last couple of weeks, I made up something. Sean, I'm going to ask Kim to pass out a little worksheet that all of you can have. This is not homework assignment to be handed in. This is just for you. This is for your own reference for all week. But what I want you to do, there's two sides to this form. You can stick it in your Bible as a reminder. We're going to go through this in a minute as soon as he passes them out to everybody. But as he looks at that, I'm going to ask Chris to put something up on the screen for me. This is our our heart for mission. It's our mission statement. Doesn't say smart TV. That's not it. There it is. We need a bigger screen. Thank you, Jesus. You can see it there. There he is. He's fitting it. Thank God for the world of technology. Those of you who are familiar with our mission statement, It's H-E-A-R-T, our established heart. Our heart for ministry, as we declare in our mission statement, is getting there. Helping, equipping, accepting, reaching, and teaching people. That's our heart. H-E-A-R-T. I'd have to go back and look at my notes, but years ago, as I was praying one time, and I said, Lord, you know, people are always doing this stuff about mission statements and, you know, all these kind of things. Did everybody get your form? Everybody got one? Okay. This heart, H-E-A-R-T, it was so real to me at the time. He says, this defines who you are, what you're doing, why you're doing it. This defines your mission. Anything outside that, and then there's another thing we call the focus four. If we get to that, we'll look at that later. But primarily, our heart, having a thankful heart, is something that needs to be applied to ourselves. On this form, you'll see there's two sides. One side says, God has helped me. Turn to that side to begin with. God has helped me. When you look at the helping, equipping, accepting, reaching, and teaching, it starts with how we feel God has related to us first. If we do not believe that God is first interested in us and focused on us, you can't give away what you have not yet yourself received. You can't give away and share with someone with the right attitude, with that heart, earnest, unwearied, steadfast, being alert and intent in this, with a right attitude of thanksgiving. You just can't do it unless you've got that in you yourself. It's just going to be fake. It's not going to be genuine. It'll be more put on. And people will see, you know, you really have a heart for this, don't you? You know, you ever run into somebody, they just got a heart for it? They're just into it? You just know it. It doesn't have to be put on. So on this, there's a few lines on here, and you don't need to be filling this out right now, but I want you to be thinking about this week of Thanksgiving. And for those of you who are going to be here Wednesday night for our believer service, we'll follow up a little bit on this. I've already got some things ready prepared for that. And then next Sunday, we'll kind of wrap this up. But I want you to be thinking all this week, what is it that God has helped you with? How many times has God helped you? Sometimes you need to be reminded of it, because one of the things that we are very good at is forgetfulness. You know, if you ask someone, what did you get for Christmas from, you know, a certain person last week, you're going, I can't remember last Christmas hardly. See, we almost aren't appreciative and thankful for things anymore. We almost take things for granted. You know, the big controversy in our nation today is we've become a nation of entitlement mentality. People are, well, you know, that's a right. You know, everything's a right. Is it? You have a right to live. And that's about it. And then, quite honestly, your life is within God. And there's someone who's always trying to take your life away. And so it's not a privilege. It's not a right like, all right, everybody, get out of my way because I deserve this. Well, when it comes to our life, you know what we really deserve? Hell. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And if it weren't for what God has done, if it weren't for God helping us with Jesus, do we really fully appreciate that Jesus went to the cross and took that scourging? And, you know, at Easter time, we encourage people to watch that movie, The Passion, if you can get through it, because it's brutal. I mean, it really is brutal. But you watch it, and even that is so minor compared to what Jesus actually physically endured for you and me. And we watch that, and we look at that, and we think, how could someone love me so much that he would be willing to do that for me? He has helped me get through so many things. How has God equipped you? All the gifts and the talents and the abilities that you have, He has given all that we are and all that we possess. How has He equipped you? Think about that. And see, sometimes you need to write these things down, and every now and then just have this in your Bible and pull it out and go, Father, I am so thankful for this. I am so thankful how you helped me. I am so thankful how you've equipped me. I know that He has helped me. I could tell you time and time again the things that He has helped me through in my personal life, in our marriage, in the ministry. I mean, quite honestly, if it weren't for God, we would not be here. I know personally, if it weren't for God, I would be dead right now. I know that. The life I was living before. There's no question. I can tell you a couple of very specific instances where I know he saved my life. Did I deserve it? Absolutely not. But did he have plans for me? Yes. Oh, thank God he rescued me. Thank God he helped me. You know, he's done that for you. He's done that for every one of us. Because the enemy is out to steal, kill, and destroy. And he will take you out as quickly and as mercilessly as he can if he has the opportunity. And if it weren't for God putting that hedge of his protection and his angels around us and his promises to every single one of us, a lot of us would have been toast by now. Just be honest about it. I am so thankful that I can even be here to worship him today. We're so oblivious sometimes of the things that God has helped us with, how God has equipped us. And I think this one for a lot of people, especially in our culture today, how God has accepted me. There's so many people that are struggling from guilt or insecurities or condemnation or a sin consciousness. And yet here's so bluntly, it says, God has accepted me. How about how God has reached out to me? Thank God he's reached out to me so many times. In my case, I know I could name a number of very supernatural ways in which he reached out to me. And then how God has continued and has been teaching me his truth. All that comes down to this. As we go through these words, helping, equipping, accepting, reaching, and teaching people, am I thankful for what God has done for me, how he has helped me, equipped me, accepted me, reached out towards me, has been continuing to teach me? You know, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 in the Translator's New Testament says this, verse 2 and 3. We always mention you in our prayers and never fail to thank God for you all. We constantly remember in the presence of our God and Father how you show your faith by your actions, your love by your labor, and your hope in our Lord Jesus Christ by your endurance. You know, we know that faith, hope, and love are those three things that Corinthians tells us, and of course, love is the greatest of those three. But I love this translation in this context because he's talking to that group of Thessalonians. He's saying, I'm so glad that we can continue to pray for you because I know God's never going to fail at this and never fail to thank God for all that you've done. Because I constantly remember. I constantly am reminded. That's why I'm handing this to you. Say, oh, this is a nice little piece of paper. I'll use this to put my grocery list on it next week. You know, you may think that this is trivial, but I feel impressed that I needed to hand these out because I would like to encourage you to write those things down and keep them fresh, remind you. Every now and then, just, you know, I find little notes in my Bible that I put in there months ago. And I pull out and go, oh. Because I'll get an idea for a sermon. I'll get an idea of somebody I'm supposed to contact. And then I'll look and I'll go, oh, that was good. Problem is, this is now March and that was an idea for a Valentine's Day message. Hello. Well, just put it in till next year. What do we have to do here? Remind ourselves, constantly remembering how we stand in the presence of God, constantly remembering how the Father is thinking about us. See, here's our problem. We're so busy in life and doing this and doing that that we can become so oblivious that we're not thankful for some of the littlest things that might happen. Now, I'm not talking about being trite and you know, using the Christian's cliches. Oh, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, thank the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Shut up, please. You know, if I understand that that's almost like a repeat button. You know, you're in a loop. If it's coming from your heart, Father, I just want to thank you. I just praise you, Jesus. I am so thankful right now that you just did, you know, whatever you just did in my life. But sometimes people say, you know, oh, praise the Lord, so quick that you're like, what are you even praising the Lord for? I don't know. I'm just praising the Lord. Well, good. But do it from that inward heart again, not just because it's something coming out because you've learned the phrase. And I don't mean to insult anybody or get anybody upset, But I want it coming from the seriousness and the genuineness of our hearts. Amen? And that's all he's saying. Because how God continually looks at us and relates to us, because your faith has actions, your love has been revealed through the labor that you do, the work that you do, and your hope is revealed through your endurance. I love that, because that's showing how we're going to stick in there no matter what's going on and be thankful. Now, flip that over. And on the back side of this, it says, I will be willing to help others. Now, that's where Colossians chapter 4 comes in, because he talks about praying for us to have the opportunity to speak about this mysterious plan that God has, this mystery that Christ has now been revealed, this opportunity to speak boldly and unfold that mystery, he says, as it is my duty to do. I love how Paul puts that in the Amplified and other translations. He says, that I may proclaim it fully and make it clear, speaking boldly and unfold that mystery as is my duty. We have a responsibility to share this with other people. That is our heart, to help, equip, accept, reach, and teach others. So again, how am I willing to help others? There's opportunities. Sometimes you might need to stop and think about that. Because again, let's just be sincerely gut honest. We are all very busy with our own lives. And pretty soon it gets pretty difficult to think about how someone else coming along and interrupting my life and my plans and my schedule. It's just like, come on now, I don't have time for this. But yet that's what life is. Especially if you are willing to lay down and sacrifice your life for someone else. You know, we've seen couples that have gotten married older in age, you know, later on in life. And we've always warned them, it says, you know, remember, you've been living 20, 30, 40 years on your own. You have your own way of doing things. And now you're going to introduce and inject this other person into your life. And I guarantee you, if you don't sit down and talk that through and talk about these things, you're going to have some issues coming up. Wow, we love each other. Well, don't we all? But I also love myself. And I love the way I do things. I'm set in my ways. Hello, we all are. This is the way we do things in my house. And now you're moving into my house. And I just want you to know this is the way we do things in my house. Huh? See, we have to adjust to each other. We have to accommodate. Are you willing to lay down your life and sacrifice for one another? Come, somehow be willing to sit down and talk through and just say, what is it that we really need? Is it really that important, or is it just personal preference? Huh? Is me insisting on my own way really Christ-like? No, it's not. It's finding out what needs to be done right. Let's find out God's way and work that out. And sometimes God really doesn't care. He wants you two to work it out. So here we are. We're going to be helping each other, equipping each other, accepting each other, reaching out to each other, and by our lives and our examples, teaching each other. You know, again, how do we really understand that Jesus came as a living sacrifice? He was willing to live and die on our behalf, as an example. Wow. So when you start thinking about, okay, I'm willing to be equipping others. Well, I'm not in the ministry, Pastor. I really don't have that ability. Yes, you do. You may not realize it right now, but you are actually helping people that you work with, maybe a family member, a neighbor, to equip them to receive Jesus, to equip them for some event coming up in their life. Give them some truth. And it's amazing, that little nugget of truth, how it could impact and influence their life. But I think in this case, when it comes to others, accepting is one of the key things that when the Lord gave me this years ago, he said, this is one of the key things that the world is needing right now. People need to know that Christ accepts them and that we accept them. Not just to stay the way they are, accept them with the attitude that they can be reached and taught and equipped and helped because we've accepted them. You can take any one of these and change the order around and so that they have an influence, because if I'm reaching out to someone, then I will be accepting them, I'll be equipping them and helping them and teaching them. I'll say I'm teaching you today by helping and equipping and accepting and reaching you. So I can take any one of those and play jumble with it, but all of it comes back to our heart. What is our heart? What is our heart of ministry? What is our mission statement? You know, there's a vision statement usually for a ministry and a mission statement. A vision says this is what God has called us to do. This is what we want to do. This is what we want to accomplish. And for me, the mission statement is, okay, now how am I going to make this happen? How do I define it in such a way that I can actually act on it? That becomes my mission. My vision is to do certain things. In a sense, my vision is the focus for. That's Acts 2:42, when they continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine. That's the teaching part, isn't it? They continued steadfast in fellowship and breaking of bread. That's communion, or that community part, and prayer. Those four focus, we call it the focus four, those four legs of ministry, those four things that hold up everything on that flat level that we do as far as ministry. And so that, in a sense, is the vision of what we are supposed to be doing. And so how do we fulfill that? By helping, equipping, accepting, reaching, and teaching others with what God has given us. How God has helped me. How God has equipped me. How God has accepted me. How has He reached out to me. And how He continues to teach me. That's my heart. And if I am thankful for that, if I'm reminding myself of that, if I am having an attitude of gratitude, as they say, about it, then it's going to be more on my mind and more in the front of when I get around someone else and I realize, okay, here's an opportunity to accept. Here's an opportunity to reach. Here's an opportunity to help. Whichever one that might be, that is part of our mission now. Rather than just going through life and missing all these opportunities. I believe that what we're praying and specifically about how we're praying on Wednesday nights for these opportunities, I trust that the Holy Spirit in you will give you the opportunity to see these doors open and recognize them when they show up. Because I think a lot of times we have missed those opportunities. I think we have missed when God has said, as in the book of Acts, He said, go join yourself to that chariot. Here's a guy having the midst of a miraculous, wonderful event, a miraculous revival, people getting saved, filled with the Holy Ghost, signs, wonders, and miracles are happening. And God says, okay, I want you to leave here and go out in the desert all by yourself to meet this one guy. And you know, most of us would say, oh, are you kidding me, God? You want me here? Look at this has got to be it, because look at all these, look at what's happening here. Look at all the action. Look at all the results. And you're thinking, why would you send me out to the desert to meet one guy in a chariot who's reading some scripture that he doesn't understand? I really don't want to do that, God. Well, history has shown that that one Ethiopian eunuch went back to Ethiopia and turned a whole nation upside down. There's Christians still there today as a result of that one man. They can trace it all the way back to that chariot experience. What are we going to do when we look at these opportunities? Psalm 50 verse 23 says this: the sacrifice that honors me is a thankful heart. The sacrifice that honors me is a thankful heart. That's Psalm 50 verse 23. There's something about that willingness to lay aside our life, our wants, our needs, our desires, when we are obviously being shown an opportunity to help, equip, accept, reach, or teach someone else. We're going to have to get outside our own personal comfort zone when that happens. And that is a challenge for all of us. I'm just as busy. I can be just as guilty. I guarantee you there's times that I'm focused on something, and one of the hardest things in ministry is how do you say no sometimes? Well, it's easy to say no when you have already said yes to yourself, because my list is the most important list. What I want to do is the most important thing to do. And then someone else comes along and says, yeah, but we really need to do this. Well, I don't need to do this. You need to do that because I'm busy doing this. Well, what are you doing? Well, I'm watching TV. I'm watching my favorite show. It's the only time it's on. Have you ever heard of a DVR? If you really want to get old, get a VHS. I'm sure you can buy one at a garage sale for about $4. In fact, I got some old tapes you can have. See, we prioritize and we think this is so important. This is so vital for my life. And then if we could step back and see the scope of eternity, and from God's perspective, He says, that's nothing. You can always do that. You can always make time for that. You know what's really important? Eternal business is important. And this person's life right now is eternal business. And sometimes that's difficult for us to deal with. Sometimes that's difficult for us to get past and realize, boy, this can't be God because this is a big interruption. You know, if we didn't understand things properly, we'd think our life should be nice and decently and in order. And yet, read the Gospels and watch how many times Jesus and His life is interrupted. The woman with the issue of blood, didn't she interrupt His life? Was that on His day planner? He was on His way to Jairus' house to raise up a young lady who was dying. That interruption did what? Caused Him to be delayed enough that by the time He got there, what happened to that young girl? She died. Oh, that couldn't have been God. That couldn't have been the Lord. Really? By the time He got to that, what's the big deal with that? Whether she's sick or she's dead, it's Jesus! He just got a greater glory by raising her from the dead. Oh, see, it must have been happened that way. That was the Lord's will that that happened. Please, don't go that way either. Our life is filled with interruptions. And it may be inconvenient. But whatever that inconvenience is, do you think it's worse than raising somebody from the dead? God can raise up something that you're doing. Oh, man, we had to do this at a certain time. God can raise that up. He can resurrect that, so to speak. But we've placed such a high importance and a value on it that sometimes we miss this. Let me read Hebrews 13:15 to you. This is the Amplified Version. Through Him, therefore, let us constantly and at all times offer up to God a sacrifice of praise, which is the fruit of lips that thankfully acknowledge and confess and glorify His name. See, what we're doing is we're showing appreciation and a thankfulness towards Him. Colossians 3:15. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Now, I love what Robertson's Words Picture says of that Greek word there. I am not going to even try to pronounce all this. But in all reality, the way the original language is, instead of be ye thankful, it really means a continuous obligation. Keep on becoming thankful is the way it really should read. That's the tense of the words. It's two big long Greek words all put together. That's a combination. Keep on becoming thankful. The Amplified just puts it this way. Let the peace, soul harmony which comes from Christ rule, act as umpire continually in your hearts, deciding and settling with finality all questions that arise in your minds, in that peaceful state to which as members of Christ's one body you are also called to live, and be thankful and appreciative, giving praise to God always. So again, if I'm supposed to have a thankful heart, let Christ rule as umpire in my heart. Let Christ rule as umpire in my helping, equipping, accepting, reaching, and teaching people opportunities. Let Him be the umpire when those things come up. Let Him decide, should you take the time to help this person? Yes, sir, I will. Should you take the time out of your busy schedule to step out and show that you accept this person where they're at right now? Oh, man. Listen, I mean, they're having a pity party. They're crying, and I don't need all that snot and boogers all over me right now. Say, oh, that was crude. Well, listen, I've been around those people. And the last thing you want to do is go over there and hug on them and love on them and just say, it's going to be okay. Because right now they think the world's going to end. They think the world is ending. And at that moment, that's real to them. How do you help them? How do you reach out and give them God at that moment? Well, you have to have had God in you at that moment. You have to have realized how real God is in you. You have to be so thankful that God in you is greater than this circumstance. If you're thankful of that and you're appreciative of that, it's interesting the word appreciate. It actually has that tense or that meaning by which we have value. We give values to something. Let me find that because it was really interesting. The word appreciate means to value, to set a price on, to estimate or to esteem. Other definitions mean it gives an increase, you know, something appreciation, you know, like your house supposedly was supposed to have an appreciation value, depending on the market. But when you have an appreciation, it means it rises in value, it increases in worth and value, and one says it advances in value. So in other words, you have put something there, a commodity, a subject, an object, whatever it might be, and you appreciate it. Now see, I appreciate what God has done in my life. And the more I appreciate it, it increases in value in my life. The more I am thankful and aware and show that gratitude towards Him, I believe the bigger He gets in my life. The greater value He has in my life. I guarantee you, the less thankful I am, not don't get anyone to get embarrassed here, but I'm sure that some of us have received a birthday gift or a Christmas gift that somewhere along the line ends up on the garage sale table. That person spent $47.28 for it, and you just sold it for $2. That's called depreciation. Hello? They valued you enough to spend their hard-earned money for it and give it to you. And you had it, and you used it twice, because that's all you could find usefulness for it. See, that's the problem when we give somebody something that we like, not something we know that they like. That's another whole message about learning how to value them. All right? And so they end up putting that object out there, and they have just devalued it, and you pray to God they don't show up at your garage sale. All right, I'm moving on. So we appreciate it, we valued it, we prized it, we've esteemed it, we've placed a certain importance to it. All that comes back to appreciation. All that comes back to us understanding how to appreciate something. You know, Philemon 1:6 says this, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you, which is in Christ Jesus. That's wonderful, King James. You can say, boy, that's great. The communication of my faith is going to become effective by acknowledging every good thing which is in me, which is in Christ. Well, because you're in Christ, they're in you. And because you're in Christ and you acknowledge that, you're thankful for it, you will start to communicate that. That's the communication of your faith. But the Amplified says it best. I pray that the participation in and the sharing of your faith, this is all about those others again, may produce and promote full recognition and appreciation and understanding and precise knowledge of every good thing that is ours in our identification with Jesus Christ. See, when I identify with Christ, when I identify who I am in Christ and who Christ is in me, that message of identification that we preach all the time around here, when I appreciate that and recognize that and understand that and have precise knowledge of all those good things, glory to God, I am willing then to share that with somebody. I am willing to take that the communication of my faith, my participation and my sharing of that will produce something in the life of someone else, because that's my heart for missions. That's my heart of this ministry. That is our mission statement. Back up to the helping, equipping, accepting, reaching, teaching people. Say, well, I don't know how to pray for this church. Pray that. Pray that. You know, we've had on the little cards that we did for the confession for the offering, some of the cards that we did a long time ago also has on the back, maybe we need to produce some more. This is our confession for the offering. But on the back side, some of you have the original version. These are, we'll sell that on eBay for $100 each now. These are collector's editions. Also has our mission statement on the back. Now, as our mission statement goes, I've asked Chris to create a slide for me, and we're going to go through that. And I want us to confess this as a church. I want you to be confessing this not just from your head, but from your heart, with an attitude to help, equip, accept, reach, and teach others, because God has helped and equipped you, accepted you, has been reaching out to you and teaching you consistently in your life. And as we do that, we can go through this confession together. And this is just a confession that we have for our mission statement. And again, this is one of those things that we just encourage you to do. So as a church, we desire to affect the heart of the Twin Cities with the power of His Word and the presence of His Spirit. We are a church that is rooted and grounded in love. As a believer, I declare that my heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. My heart is established upon the solid rock of God's Word. As a church, the heart of our mission is helping, equipping, accepting, reaching, and teaching people so that their hearts may become established in the life-changing principles of God's Word. That's a very simple confession. That's what our mission statement declares. That is our heart. And so, anytime you think of that, it's something that we've had on the announcement sheets. It's something that we've passed out before. It's on the membership covenant things for those of you who are helpers. It's one of those things that every now and then you just need to read. It's one of those things you just need to remind yourself. And the reason, the only reason I gave you this sheet is so that you can start to fill these things out. Start to think about these things. How has God reached out to me? Now, maybe today you can't think of anything, but put this where you keep thinking about it. Start writing those things down. And every time you pull this out, and just start thanking Him for it. Start acknowledging how much you appreciate what God has done for you. I believe when we do that, then we're back to, through Him, therefore, let us constantly and at all times offer up to God a sacrifice of praise, which is the fruit of our lips. What's a confession like that? The fruit of our lips. That's all it is. How? By thankfully acknowledging and confessing and to glorify His name. Acknowledging, confessing, glorifying what God has done for us. It's that simple. It's amazing. I've talked to so many different people and ministers here in the last few months, and no matter what camp they come from, no matter what denomination they come from. This last week I've been together with, I don't know, three different groups of people in the last week or so. And it's interesting to me that there's a general consensus. Everyone is anticipating something breaking forth. There's just this excitement. There's just this, it's coming. It's coming. Folks, it's coming. You know, I don't know what it is, but it's coming. It's kind of like Christmas is coming, you know. I don't know what I'm going to get for Christmas, but glory to God, I'm excited because it's coming. Have that little kid attitude about it. But it's coming. God has something coming. For the earth is in travail. The earth is so in need of what He has. Are we prepared? Are we ready to sacrifice and lay down our life? And I believe having a thankful heart for all that being appreciative of what He's done for us and how He wants to use us to reach others will keep us on track. Well, I trust you got something out of this, because This is a vital place of where we are at as a body. The body of Christ needs to understand this. If we're not thankful, we'll just get so caught up with ourselves and neglect everything that God's doing, and we'll just get busy with stuff and we'll forget Him. We cannot forget Him. And I think being thankful is always a personal reminder. Amen. Father, we just thank You again. I thank You for each person here. And Lord, when we say thank You, we say that with all of our heart. We do appreciate all that You've done in us. Your word says that as You began a good work in us, You will bring it to completion. We thank You for that. We thank You for how much You love us, how much You have sacrificed for us, that You, Jesus, gave Your life for us, that You, Holy Spirit, are here in our life today to lead us and guide us into all the truth. Father, forgive us for our lack of appreciation, for getting caught up sometimes with just our own little lives. Help us expand and broaden our horizons to see things the way You see them. Help us truly be thankful. Help us truly appreciate all that You've done for us. Help us truly appreciate how You want to use us in our heart for ministry, our mission statement here. Thank You for that, Father. We honestly, sincerely, genuinely say thank You. We love You. We do appreciate all that You've done for us. In Jesus' name. Amen.